I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want us this morning to think upon this subject, five reasons why Jesus went to the Father. Five reasons taken from John chapter 14 why Jesus went to the Father. If you have been reading along in the Gospel of John, you'll see that when Jesus made this statement here, let not your hearts be troubled, he was saying this on the behalf of his disciples whom had troubled hearts. The reason they were troubled or sad is because Christ had told them he was leaving them. In the 33rd verse of the 13th chapter, it said, this he said, signifying what death he should die. He had told his disciples that he was going to die, and he had also, of course, in that 13th chapter, we noticed his warning to Peter, given in verse 36 through 38. Now, not only, I believe, were they disturbed about Christ going to die, but I believe they were disturbed about Peter going to die. Peter was the one that they looked to as a leader. He was the one that was outspoken. And the one that always ran headstrong. Now, Christ himself had also revealed his inward burden. In verse 21 of the 13th chapter, the same came. Let me go in the 13th chapter in verse 21. It said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So at this time, when we come up to John 14, the disciples had troubled hearts. And this is why that Jesus here seeks to comfort them and to meet the needs of the troubled hearts. And that's why that he began here in verse 1 and said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he starts telling them some things that he is going to go into the very presence of the Father for them. And some things that will be beneficiary to them. Sometimes, you know, we think, well, I just can't do without that person or that person leaving. But, you know, God has everything all purposed and planned. And they thought that if the Lord Jesus Christ were to leave, and even if they were to lose Peter, that they would be in devastation. But then Jesus is going to tell them that there's some things that I'm going to go to the Father and going to do for you that you might have. And one of the first ones that I want us to think about, why that Jesus went to the Father, he went, first of all, to prepare a place for them. In verse 1 through 6. Now the place is not a figurative of our imagination, but it is a real place. And that place is heaven. And he pictures heaven as being a place where the Father dwells, and there are mansions there, or literally that means abiding places. Places where that one day we are going to be able to go, and we are going to be able to abide there in the place that Jesus has prepared for us. Now, heaven is a prepared place, but it's for a prepared people. You got to be prepared to go to heaven. Sad to say, according to God's word, not everybody that dies goes to heaven. People like to think everybody does, or they like to say that everybody does, but heaven is a place that Jesus has prepared for a prepared people. That is, a people that are prepared to meet death and to go out of this life and to go out into eternity. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, then you're not prepared. Only those that have been saved by the grace of God and that has had an experience of grace is prepared or is ready to go to heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is building a heavenly home. He was the son of a carpenter. And he's building a heavenly home for all those who have trusted him and for all those that ever will trust him. Now what he's building, he's not building in vain. There ain't going to be an empty mansion. They're going to be filled to capacity. They're built for a certain capacity, and every place is going to be filled. And I believe that one of the great things in him having gone means that he's going to come again. And he tells us this in this passage of Scripture. I believe the best description of this, though, is the Apostle Paul when he gives it to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and there in verse 13 down through verse 18. And listen to what Paul says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or that is, what he means here is those that have died in the Lord, died saved. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now keep in mind what verse 16 says, along with verse 3, when Jesus said, and I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so then Paul said in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is right now preparing a place for us. Now, how can sinners like you and sinners like me, how can we ever hope to go to heaven or to get to heaven? There's only one way that any person can ever go to heaven or will ever get to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people try to do it by doing good. Some people try to do it by being baptized. Some people try to do it by being a member of some church. When really there's only one way to ever get to heaven or go to heaven, and that's through God's way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, I'm not going to turn and read there, but I'm going to give you a reference to Luke chapter 15. In verse 11 down through 24, and I believe there's, that is the prodigal son. It's used many ways, but I'm thinking of it in the idea of a person that that is lost and a person that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm going to go there after all. Luke 15, because there's a verse or two that I'll point out. I won't read it all. But in connection to John 4:6. Now we're going to notice Luke 15 in connection with John 14:6. Here's what John 14:6 says. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now in Luke chapter 15, you know the story of the prodigal son is a story of a picture. And even what it says in verse 24, he said, and this my son was dead. That is, he was lost. And this pictures the lost sinner that's dead in trespasses and sins and needs to be quickened and made alive. And so we see, he said, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. But he said, now, and is found. I'm so glad that God purposed and planned and God provided to where that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he finds every one of them. Every person that God chose or God purposed in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save, and even while during his public ministry, but he even is seeking and saving that which was lost even today by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit searching them out. So we see that the Son was lost, but we also see that the Son was ignorant. Ignorant isn't a bad word. It just means there's some things you don't know. When I'm ignorant of some things, don't mean I don't know anything. But it means there's some things that I don't know. There's some things I do know, but there's some things I don't know. But the son, the prodigal son, was ignorant. He was ignorant of some things. You're looking at verse 17 of Luke 15. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. In other words, he came to himself, but you'll also see that verse 24 said that he was dead. Just like a sinner is dead in trespasses and sins and needs to be quickened and made alive. And I believe that we have a picture here of the Holy Spirit of God quickening the lost sinner and enabling them that they might go to the Father. For look in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now we know he was lost, but John 14:6 says Jesus is the way. We see that he was ignorant, but we see that John 14:6 says Christ is the truth. He was dead, that is, spiritually, but Christ is alive. And you'll see that he arrived at his Father's house. And that's what's going to happen to every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God, and everyone that is going to be saved, we are one day going to arrive at the Father's house. And that is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first reason that he went to the Father was to prepare a place for them. But then the second reason that he went to the Father is found in verse 7 through 11 of John 14, and that is to reveal the Father to them. Look in verses 7 through 11. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now I know God the Father, and God the Father has been revealed to me because in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. believe me either I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Philip seemed to have trouble with his eyes. And I think we're that way a lot of times. He wanted to see. And we find that almost his first words that we see that he spoke, Philip did over in John 1:46, is come and see. And who he wanted to come see was Jesus Christ. And we see that he, and even in John 6, we notice lack there, we see that Philip saw the great crowd and the multitude, and he had already decided that Christ could not feed them. But he didn't know in John 6:7 the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had. And then the Greeks who came to Philip said, in chapter 12, verse 21, we would see Jesus. Now Jesus makes it clear here that seeing him is seeing the Father. From henceforth you know him, he says. He promises here in verse 9, it is by faith that we see the Father as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. It is through faith that we see him. So he went to the Father to prepare a place for them, and he went to the Father to reveal the Father to them. But then another reason that he went to the Father was to grant them the privilege of prayer. Look in verse 12 down through verse 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Son may be glorified, my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now while he was with them, he supplied all their needs. All you got to do is look in the 16th chapter, verse 22 through 24. Now that he was going to return to heaven, he leaves them the privilege of prayer. And we have the privilege of prayer, and he promises here to answer their prayer that the Father may be glorified. Now we know that this praying and the prayers that the Lord answers is according to his will. And that's the way we ought to pray. We ought not to pray, we ought not to ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. As James says there in the fourth chapter of the book of James. So to pray in his name means to pray for his glory and to pray for his honor. And so we see that he left us not only the privilege of prayer, but he left us the privilege of prayer. How thankful I am that he went to the Father to grant the privilege of prayer. But the fourth thing that he went to the Father for was to send the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 15 down through verse 26. If you love me, keep my commandments, verse 15, and I will pray the Father. Now notice, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now they had Jesus with them right in person. He had been right there with them in person. And what he's saying is, now I'm going to go to the Father, and then the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so he goes through here and he calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Literally meaning the one alongside to help you. And that's who the Holy Spirit is that indwells the believer. And he used the word another, means another of the same kind. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit is God just as Christ is God. And we need to recognize that. And so now the Holy Spirit within the disciples would take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ being with them. And how thankful that I am today that we have the Holy Spirit that abides within us. Now, he called him the Spirit of truth. Now, there's a spirit of error. And I believe today that a lot's done in the name of religion is done by the spirit of error rather than the spirit of truth. And it's so confusing. It's so confusing to people. And so now the spirit of truth, what the spirit of truth was going to do, the Holy Spirit would use the word to convict sinners and to direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit would take the word of God and then direct those that are saved to the truth and to the way that they ought to walk and the way they ought to live. Because this is what he said in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so now this was the work of the Holy Spirit that was going to come. And I believe that you'll see that he mentions down in verse 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now I can think of several things there. I believe that, you know, when he ascended to the Father, then he appeared back to them. You know how that he appeared to them and they didn't know him. But I believe also that he came to them as the Holy Spirit. But I also believe that there's another thing that he even mentioned in the first part of this chapter. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe that it even carries with the thought of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there can be several things that we can think about of this. But look in verse 21 through 26. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, that is, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, how does he manifest himself to us and not to the world? How come we see him and the world don't see him? Holy Spirit. Jesus answered unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Now notice, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now how does that happen? How is it that we, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit comes to us and makes his abode with us? How does that happen? The Holy Spirit comes and takes up abode within us. Now look. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now I believe that Christ speaks in these verses of a deeper relationship. The disciples will have a deeper relationship now with the Father and with the Son through the Holy Spirit. It was great to be able to be with him and walk with him. But now they're going to have even a deeper experience. And the Holy Spirit is going to enable them to do that. They are not going to be orphans. They're not going to be left comfortless. And I believe that we see this deeper relationship between the child of God and between the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves obedience to the Word of God. Verse 21. You know, you can have a relationship and it not be as meaningful as it ought to be because of your lack of obedience to the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and works in your heart and your life, and then I believe that you have even a deeper relationship with the Lord. You know, you say, I'm real close to them. I'm real close to Him. And a love for the Word also This is found in 21, verse 21 and verse 24. 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, how is it when we study the Word of God and obey the Word of God that the Lord reveals himself to us? But look in verse 24 when he said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I believe that what is involved here is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now here's how simple it is. The child of God, or the believer who spends time learning the Word and then goes out to live the Word. And as you learn the Word and go out to live the Word, you will enjoy a close, satisfying communion with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't obey the Word, if you don't love the Word, if you don't then live the Word, you're not going to have that sweet communion. Even though you're saved, and even though God's your Father, and your Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what a blessing. Now, love for Christ is not some shallow emotion that we talk about. It means loving and obeying His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. And I thought about what he talked about there in verse 1 through 3. A saint going to heaven to abide with the Father and the Son. But here, in this portion of Scripture, he talks about the Father and the Son coming to abide with the saint. We need the Father and the Son to abide with us now before we ever go to abide with them. That's what we need today, is that close relationship with God the Father and God the Son. And He does come, I reckon so. For look what he said. We will come unto him. Who's the we? The we is the Trinity. The we is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. And that's before you get the fulfillment of John 14, 1 through 3. We need him now to live in this present world, and I love to have the abiding presence of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and to know that, and to know the Word of God, and to not only know it but to live the Word of God. Don't it make you feel good? It does. And if you don't you feel bad? Certainly you do. You really do. Now, another reason for him going to the Father was to grant his peace. Verse 27 down through verse 31. Now look at this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before, it shall come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, and the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Disciples, you know what they needed? They needed the same thing that we need today. The disciples needed peace. And that's exactly what we need today in this troubled world. We need peace. And I'll tell you, the peace that Christ gives is not that of the world. The peace that the world gives soon vanishes. It goes away. It's shallow. It's unsatisfying. It's temporary. But the peace that Christ gives is in the heart, and it's always satisfying, and it'll abide forever. And there'll never be a time that there will not be this peace. The world offers peace through the outward means, and Christ offers peace in the heart. You know, you can get weighted down in this old world. So weighted down in this old world. And the only thing that will do you any good is the peace that Lord Jesus Christ gives you in your heart. Psychologists of our day talk about peace of mind. They don't know what they're talking about. But Christ, through His resurrection, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, gives peace with God. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go on over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9 of Philippians chapter 4. And notice what Paul said when he was writing to the church at Philippi. Philippians 4, verse 4 through verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful. Now, he said in verse 28, he said, for my Father is greater than I. This refers to the days of his earthly life. As the Son of God, he was equal with the Father. As the Son of Man, he was obedient unto the Father. And the Father gave Christ his works, and he gave him his words. By dying on the cross and going to heaven, Christ defeated Satan. You'll see that in verse 30 there. Who is the author of confusion and unrest? Now the disciples, no doubt in 31, thought that his death was a tragedy. But it's just proof of his love for them and his love for the Father. And he died because the Father commanded it, and Christ came to do the Father's will. So these are five reasons why he went to the heaven of the disciples, and five reasons why he went to heaven for us. To prepare a place, to reveal the Father to us, to grant us the privilege of prayer, to send the Holy Spirit that he may abide in us, and to grant his peace to us. And we have all of these in Jesus Christ. I say today that if you're not saved by the grace of God, I pray that it might please the great God of heaven, and that he might grant to you repentance and faith, and that you might come to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are saved today, rejoice. Rejoice that you have the Trinity abiding with you. Sometimes people say, well, I get so perplexed and perturbed, and I get so depressed. What you got to remember is this. Said, oh, if we could just go to heaven, that'd be great. But what you got to remember is you got the Trinity abiding with you now. All you need to do is to study the Word, live the Word, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll know you got the Trinity with you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then there'll be a lump in your heart to be in their very presence. They're with us today in the form of the Holy Spirit that abides in us. He's in every believer. He's here present in this service this morning. So that makes us then to thank you. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? He
peace, peace with God, because of Jesus, what Jesus Christ did on my behalf. And I have the peace of God, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me.